Welcome, welcome, welcome on board the Random Ship for this, our 100th and final voyage.
Woo!
I am the captain on this weekly journey, Holt, and with me, as always, is my first mate and my brother, Alan.
Happy last episode, everybody.
So for those of you who don't know, what we do here is we take 25 to 30 minutes for the last 100 weeks, and we wander the waters of the weird. Yes, the oceans of the obscure, the rivers of the random.
And if you make it to the end of the episode, you'll be rewarded with your 100th ship fact.
Changing up the intro really messed me up. I was tongue-tied there. I'm just so nervous because it's such a special occasion.
You only have one 100th episode ever, so.
Not like our stupid 465th episodes.
No. It's a bad string of episodes.
We did have one episode that we did twice because I forgot to record.
The entire thing was supposed to have been recorded, and we had to do it all over and I had to react to your stupid jokes like they were.
Oh, yeah, no, actually twice that happened. So once we just recorded it the same day, and the next time we just said, nah, we'll just record it again next week. We'll take a week off. Well, as with last week, we are trying to hit all the fan favorite segments before we dock for one final time. So this week, first up is, surprise, Alan, I have another dad story.
Oh, you've had so few lately.
Well, I have one that literally just happened.
So you may as well get it out. This is your last chance.
We went to the grocery store, and the pumpkins were on sale. And right, like, I know this is coming out after Halloween, but this is being recorded on the 29th. So it's almost Halloween. We're not really a big decorations family, but
no.
The neighbors next door, and you know this when you come for Christmas, they love their like inflatable things.
They don't even make sense half the time.
So this year they have like 7 different inflatables, plus they've rigged their garage so that like eerie smoke comes out of it.
Ooh, spooky.
And so I let my son get window stickers from the dollar store.
Oh, nice. So basically same amount of effort.
Well, I told the kid next door, I was like, did you see we put up window stickers? I'm like, so you're not allowed to do that. We didn't get inflatables. You don't get window stickers. And then he looked at me, and he's like 6 months older than my son. And he goes,
help? A stranger's talking to me?
No, I know him. He's like, okay. Well, if you come inside my house, you may not come out alive. I was like, oh, okay.
That is intense.
Challenge accepted. I will not go inside. No. No, thank you.
Did he threaten you?
I don't know. His mom and dad were standing right there, so I think the whole family threatened me. But 2 hours ago, we were getting groceries, and he saw the pumpkins. He's like, Daddy, can we get a pumpkin? I'm like, sure, yeah, why not? They're on sale because it's like 2 days before Halloween.
Yeah, so of trying course, to get nobody's going to buy a pumpkin now.
Well, they're trying to get rid of their like 900 pumpkins they have. And so I got one for like $3. And then right beside it for $4 was like the everything included, all you need to carve a pumpkin kit.
Oh,
and
perfect.
I was like, I hope my son doesn't see this. I hope my son doesn't see this. And of course, he's like, look at this, Daddy. We can put a happy face in the pumpkin. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I don't think we need to. Like, I've never done that before. And you know me. And I'm sure our listeners know well. That seems like something that would very frustrate me. Like,
yes.
To the point of me having a temper tantrum.
And breaking the pumpkin, most likely.
But being the good father I am, I'm like, you know what? Yes, let's do this as a team project. Like, you and I will do it. And so 10 minutes before you said you were ready to record, I finished my first ever jack-o'-lantern. So,
ooh.
Yeah, and my son was excited until he found out we couldn't light it till Halloween or else, you know, it like ruins a jack-o'-lantern. And he's like, but the instructions say we need to light it. And then he cried. Thanks for ruining a beautiful moment.
Thanks for ruining Halloween.
But the one I was actually going to say was, this week, I got pulled aside by his teacher, Miss Sonia, when I was picking him up. And
is her last name Sonia, or does she just go by her first name?
They go by their first name now. It's weird. Yeah,
I don't like that.
And Miss Sonia was telling me, hey, I know at the beginning of the year I said, oh, he'd be fine. Like, he's really shy, but he'll be fine. She's like, now it's been a month and a half, and he's still refusing to talk to other kids in class. Like, to the point where his best friend, Adam, or his boyfriend, Adam, as we said a few weeks ago, my son said something to him, the other day, and Adam went, did everyone hear that? He talks! He talks!
They're such good friends.
So anyway, I told my son, I said, okay, I'll tell you what. This was Thursday. On Friday, I said, if you talk to at least three kids today, and Miss Sonia hears you, I will ask her at the end of the day, and if she says she heard you, we can make brownies this weekend.
Oh.
They're his favorite dessert. He looks at me and goes, I don't think I want to make brownies. And then walked away to get his clothes on for school. Well, okay. I have nothing to say here.
I tried bribing him. What other strategies are there for children?
Now, Alan, we wouldn't want to leave on a purely positive note. So
no, never.
I have tasked you with finding one final beef of the week.
So this was difficult because I didn't really have anything go terribly wrong this week to me to hate on anything in particular. So I just kind of found a general beef of the week that I think most people can relate to.
Give it to me.
So my beef of the week is with spam emails and also actual mail, but mostly emails. Because I don't know if you know this, but maybe 5 or 6 years ago, our mother purchased Saks underwear for our dad for Christmas, and she used me as the contact email, and I constantly get multiple emails from Saks a day. And
I do get annoyed by that.
I have never read a single one of them.
I get annoyed by that. As you know, I've been getting into, like, signed books.
Yes.
And there, one place I go is Premier Collectibles to get them, but there's another one called Books a Million. And so sure. They had one for a really, really good price that I wanted. And I went to buy it, and they don't ship to Canada. But now 3 times a day, I get emails from them saying, like, hey, your order is still in your basket. Hey, here's the deal. It's like, you should know I'm not.
Clearly, I'm not interested.
You won't even ship to me. You're just wasting. If this was paper, you'd be killing trees. You're killing so many Minecraft trees.
That's how internet works. Yeah, I'm just sick of it. And honestly, I've stopped checking my, like, actual personal mailbox because also is 90% spam.
It's true. And yes, you could unsubscribe.
It doesn't help sometimes.
But it's just, I find that then you have to fill out another form of why you're unsubscribing sometimes. And it's just like, it's easier just to checkmark delete.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
We loved making this podcast over the last 100 episodes. And we hope you love listening to it. Most of them. So we figured we would have one final Lessons in Love. So for the final Lessons in Love, Alan, I figured I would tell you the story of my engagement.
Oh, I feel like I've heard this story before, but I do think it's something our listeners will appreciate.
So I clearly love my wife. She's a fantastic lady.
Obviously. She's great.
And on the 1 year anniversary of us dating, I forget why, this must have been still when she was trying to, like, impress me. She came home for lunch, which she, like, hasn't done since. And so we were hanging out on the couch on our 1 year anniversary over lunch, and I said, you know what, I'm going to marry you 1 year today on a ship.
It's a bold proclamation.
And she was like, oh, that would be nice, ha ha ha. So then I went home. Or I went to work, and rather than doing my job, I started researching cruise ships. And it turns out that day, there was the Norwegian Getaway. It was their first ever sailing. So I checked, and they had a sailing exactly a year to the day, which would be their 1 year anniversary cruise. So we're getting on a pretty new ship. So I'm like, this is perfect. So I go ahead, I book it, I pay for the whole wedding, which I gotta say, if you're thinking of getting married, cruise ship's the way to go. It was very inexpensive, and the only thing you have to do is fill out a 2-page form for what you want your wedding to look like, and the cruise line takes care of the rest. So, just...
True. The only problem is, if you want to have lots of people there, some people are dissuaded by having to pay for a cruise.
True. We had 3 people drop out because of that, but it ended up being... But I don't talk to them anymore, so screw them. So I took this conversation that my wife and I had as like, Or I
girlfriend
guess,
at the time.
Girlfriend at the time, and I had as gospel. And like, okay, let's go book this thing. So then I told our whole family, and I said, hey, you we're did. Getting married. Bye-bye. I sent out a mass email. A day later, our Auntie Robin emailed my wife and said, and at this point, they haven't met yet. They've talked on the phone, but they still live in Ottawa. So they live like like thousands of kilometers away. They haven't met. They would in a couple months. And she's like, oh, I'm so happy that you're being a part of the family. Everything's, you seem to be an amazing person, blah, blah. And I get this angry call from my girlfriend that says, why does your aunt say we're getting married on February 1st? I was like, I told you, we had this discussion. Oh, it was that 5-minute discussion we had over our ham sandwiches. Remember, I told you I was going to marry you a year today on a boat? And she's like, that is not, we didn't decide anything. We just had a discussion. We said that would be nice. She's like, you also haven't even proposed yet. So until I have a ring, this is not, it's just a vacation.
And, I remember that.
And I had been engaged previously, very briefly, waste. And so I told her, I'm like, I've been engaged before. Engagement doesn't mean anything, obviously. Like, with you, it's different. Why do we need to be engaged? And at the time, money was really tight. So I was also like, I don't want to get an engagement ring right now.
I don't want to shell out for anything extra.
I just paid for a cruise. And she's like, she looked at me in the eyes and she said, Holt, not everyone likes to be engaged multiple times like you do. For some of us, this is special.
Get body.
And so 2 weeks later, I was traveling for work and I had an hour and a half before my flight left Calgary to come home. And so I ran to the outlet mall.
Nice.
And found her a matching engagement ring and wedding band. And I was going to plan something, but I'm like, we already have the wedding book. That's romantic. Like, I'll just give it to her when she gets home. So she,
which she loved.
She works late. So she got back like 10 o'clock at night. And I was sitting there, and you can't call them wife beaters. In my undershirt and my basketball shorts.
I prefer tank top, but...
Tank top.
That's just because I don't wear them.
And she came in and was telling me about her day. And she was like, how was your flight? Like, how was your day? And I'm like, pretty good. And then she looked away, and I reached under my pillow where I had the ring box. And I said, do you want to marry me? And I threw the ring box at her.
It was so romantic.
And her first reaction was, are you serious? I was like, yes, of course I'm serious. Remember the cruise? Now we're engaged. So now it's a wedding thing.
I'm following all of your instructions to a T.
She does not like that. Anytime she wants to make me look stupid at a party, she brings up the engagement story.
I bring it up all the time. It's hilarious.
And she got even more upset because when my buddy Shay got married, he's like, Holt, you're good at planning things. Can you help me? And so I'm like, yeah, you're going to be in London. So why don't you rent a private car on the London Eye Ferris wheel? And then like, and my wife, when she found out, was like, you proposed for Shay better than you proposed for me. Well, we're married, aren't we? It worked. Everything's fine.
All went according to plan. I don't know what you're so concerned about.
Our first article this week, Alan, comes from Sky News. Doctor removes 23 contact lenses from eye of patient who forgot to take them out for almost a month.
I hate that you made me read this.
I just read the headline, so... and then I scrolled down to the video and I said, do I watch this? Nope.
Nope. I didn't watch the video, but even thinking about it, it's just, ugh.
They congealed together.
Yeah,
and...
I assume everybody who's listening to episode 100 also listened to the episode where we ranked our biggest fears. And my biggest fear, was having things close to my eyes.
Oh.
So this made me very uncomfortable.
I didn't like this article, but I was like, oh, it's also so stupid. Like, how do you... Don't get me wrong, I don't have contact lenses. My vision is pretty good, but I feel like you would know. Like, my wife knows pretty... Like, my wife wears contact lenses, and she's Like, oh, my contacts are dry. Oh, they're getting a little itchy. Was this like, oh, they're getting, my eyes are itchy. Maybe I forgot my contact lens and then another went in. Like, I couldn't get through the article. So did they explain her reasoning other than she forgot?
Basically, it just sounds like she forgot to take them out before going to bed and then just woke up and put new ones in.
For 23 straight days. I feel like she must have been, like, drunk every time she went to bed.
That's a lot of nights to go to bed drunk.
Some people like their wine, Alan. They're called winers.
Oh, they're called alcoholics.
I thought, no, the actual term's winos, but it is. Winers is funnier.
Thank you. But, yeah, basically, this optometrist, that's an eye doctor.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Curtiva.
Had to use some kind of, like, what did she call it?
Cotton wool bud.
No.
That's what it says here.
Everybody, can you hear
carefully
everybody
scraping the lenses out with a cotton wool bud.
She had to use a jeweler's forceps.
Ooh.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun.
No. At least she had those.
Yeah.
But she says they were essentially glued together. So just take one out, they all come like a slinky.
Slinky, slinky.
I've been all week, anytime I'm driving, I hum. Drive is not a drive without Kentucky Fried.
Weird. I have not had that once happen to me.
The fat kids are just so adorable.
They're really not.
And our last article ever, Alan, comes from our friends at Fox News. North Carolina woman cited by police for shooting Mountain Dew cans in her backyard. Don't do this.
It's weird that they put that in, like, quotes in the title, because I'm pretty sure nobody says that in the entire article. But this is another stupid one.
We totally understand that not everybody is a fan of the Dew, the department said. The police department's calling it the Dew.
Yeah, their police departments are so hip these days.
This should just be a commercial for gun control. Like, there is no reason that you should be able to be like, I don't like what you're drinking, I'm going to murder it. With a bullet. Like, it just, well, like, if you want to roll over in your car, that's fine.
Let's be clear. It's perfectly fine to shoot cans, right? Like, that's something they do, like, down south frequently in, like, the middle of nowhere. But she was doing this literally in her backyard in
a busy
suburbia.
Yeah.
That's what the problem is.
Too many guns.
Too many guns. Also,
I agree. If you're doing this in a controlled setting at a gun range, sure.
That could actually be cool, because then you'd like see like...
Yeah, rather than getting... I watch Pawn Stars, and every time they shoot a gun, they're like, we're shooting at all this like ammunition that blows up and makes a giant explosion.
Seems dumb.
You need better things to do with your life if you're just like, I'm going to make this thing explode.
America.
I think it would be cool. But it'd be something I'd do once. And
yeah,
then I'd
you don't
be
have
like,
to do it every single time.
No.
Although maybe you do it once and you're like, oh, hey, this is sick. I'm going to do it every single time.
I'm hooked. Now suddenly all your money's going to, like, explosives.
Explosives? That can only reflect well on you.
So essentially she was doing this because her father was drinking too much Mountain Dew. And she didn't think it was good for his health. And he wouldn't listen to her. So she murdered the Dew.
Yeah, not him.
No.
You know, Mountain Dew probably isn't the best thing to drink.
I wouldn't think it's the most healthy. No.
But it's also not like he was drinking beer all the time.
Or doing cocaine.
Or doing cocaine, right? Like, this wasn't like he was actively ruining his and everyone else's life. It was just, this is unhealthy. Guess I should shoot it. It seems like some of the commenters are not taking this seriously. One of them said, I'd fully understand if it had been Dr. Pepper. It's a weird stance to take, that Dr. Pepper's strictly worse than Mountain Dew. As somebody who doesn't drink pop, what are your thoughts?
I know Brother 3 loves Dr. Pepper, but I know it's a very, not controversial, but it's, what's the word where it's, there's passionate people on both sides? People either love it or hate it. Polarizing. It's a very polarizing.
Yeah, polarizing. I was going to say divisive, but.
That's also true. We're basically human thesauruses.
Yes.
Or would it be human thesauri? Yeah.
I don't think it would be thesauri.
Yeah! So for our final random rank, we've had a beef, I guess, a playful beef with the sport of baseball. From
Is it playful?
Pretty much episode one. We've made it clear we don't particularly enjoy baseball. And as it is the heart of the World Series right now, I'm sure today is like game five or six.
That means nothing to me.
I know the Philadelphia team is playing. Phillies. That is playing the Houston team.
Yeah, I did see because I saw, was it on Facebook I saw posts about it? I don't know, but Philadelphia thought it was a big deal.
We've also sold you how much of a fan Alan and I are of Broadway musicals.
Yes,
so we decided to rank our top reasons that musicals are just better than baseball. Alan, what is your number three reason?
So this is going to be a weird one because we haven't discussed what any of our reasons
are. We have not, and I'm sure there'll be some.
And I don't think there's that many reasons, really, but I will get started with my first reason as the music is just better. Because basically at baseball, you have Take Me Out to the Ball Game, which sucks.
And the national anthem.
Which I'm not going to say my opinion on.
But I agree. This was actually my number three, too, was the music. There's much more music in it. In baseball, you have to wait a full 6.5 innings till the 7th inning stretch for you to get some music.
Yeah.
In theory, every time a batter comes up, they play a snippet of whatever song that person wants. But
yeah, that doesn't
count. Not the same.
The thing for the last baseball game I went to, which actually wasn't that long ago, but it was not like a major league game. They had a bunch of kids that would come up between innings and like dance to songs, and that made it even worse. So, it's like, oh, we're including all the children. It's like, yeah, but why? Who asked for this?
No one wants that. Well, this could actually be a very quick random rank. So
we could. Do you want to do your number two?
Yeah, I will skip to my number two, which is, all in all, I would say musical theater performers are in better shape than baseball players.
Oh, I did not have that, but I see where you're coming from.
And I know what you're thinking. Well, no, baseball players play like, it's not like football where they play once a week. Baseball players play like 162 games. I agree. People who do musicals, it's either 5 days a week with two shows on like Saturday or whatever, or 6 days a week with two shows on Saturday. So they have a very similar, if not more daunting, schedule to baseball, and a musical is about the same length as a baseball game. So it's literally the same thing. Plus, the main actors don't get to sit down when it's not their turn to bat like the baseball players do. Now, don't get me wrong. Aaron Judge, I know that dude. That dude's like ripped. He looks like an Adonis. I get that, but there's a lot of pudgy waddlers out there, too. So
the thing about baseball is there's not that much running involved.
Unless you're outfield.
Yeah, and then it's only if the ball's hit in your general area.
Yeah, and then if you hit, like, a single or whatever that could be a double, no one gets mad at you. They're just like, well, he doesn't have speed, so he only made a single out of that. Whereas if you were on Broadway and you had to, like, jump and catch someone, and then that person fell, they wouldn't be like, well, he doesn't have upper body strength, so that's okay.
he did the jump part fine. That's what we needed.
Get into shape, baseball. What is your number two, Alan?
So my number two is that aside from the like intermission, which everybody is warned about far beforehand, there's not really any long pauses in musicals where nothing's
happening.
There's
no commercial breaks.
Yeah. So you... Baseball, even when they're switching out pitchers or changing lineups or switching from like top of the inning to the bottom of the inning, it's a whole lot of nothing happening. Right? You don't really have that issue with musicals. There's always something going on. Anytime they're like doing huge set changes or whatever, it's in the intermission, so you don't have to like worry about...
Yeah, or they do that thing where they turn all the lights off and it's pitch black and then the lights come on and something is different. That'd be cool if they were like coming in out of the bullpen.
And then turn all the lights off?
The only pitcher I know is Wild Thing from Major League, the movie, played by Charlie Sheen. Wild Thing! No. And then Wild Thing starts playing and all the lights go on. Wild Thing! Lights come on! And there he is ready to pitch. That would be cool.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're improving baseball quite a bit.
We're adding theatrics to it.
Yes, we're making it less of a boring sport and more of a show.
I now want to watch that.
Unfortunately, that's not what baseball actually is.
My number one is, it's weird because, okay, so my number one is that musicals are in a theater and therefore have more drama and theatrics to them. Now, I will give baseball the fact that, yes, it has arguably the most drama of any sport because every pitch could change the entire game.
Sure.
Yes, but 99 other pitches do nothing. So it's very boring. And yes, there is some drama in the postseason, but here comes an argument or an annoyance I have with baseball, is they don't act like they've been there before, right? You know the saying, like, act like you've been there before? If I got great pipes and I'm on Broadway, I don't just stand there and be like, yeah, you see what I did there? Woo! And, like, do a curtain call midway through the show. But baseball players, unlike every other sport, right? Like, if your team qualifies for the playoffs, you celebrate, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, yes, we made the playoffs. Now we're going for the Super Bowl or Stanley Cup or the Larry O'Brien Trophy, right? Sure. Or whatever. But when you win each round, you're like, yeah, we did it. Good job. And you guys high five and you may go out to the club. Baseball, they make the playoffs. They cover the lockers with garbage bags and they all spray each other with champagne. Then they win the first round. They cover everything and spray each other with champagne again. Every single round, they have this big celebration like they've won the World Series.
How do they have that much champagne? That sounds very expensive.
It's like Dom Perignon or something is like a major sponsor. And they're like, they need to celebrate more.
Yeah, it just seems like a waste and honestly a terrible mess.
Act like you've been there before. You celebrate when you win the World Series. Also celebrate when you make the playoffs. I get that. It's a long game. Or a long season. 162 games. Long. Win the World Series. Yes, feel free to celebrate. Don't celebrate after you won the two-game wild card round like your season is over. Yeah, we did it. We've reached the mountaintop. You have not. What is your number one reason musicals are better than baseball, Alan?
Number one.
My number one reason is that in musicals, there's never a point where you say, well, this is over. Why even bother watching the last two innings? Because I feel like every time I go to a baseball game, I can be interested in baseball for like 5 or 6 innings. Right? Assuming I have somebody I need to, like, teach the rules to baseball.
So you should just come in the third inning, then.
Oh, maybe. But any time I go to a baseball game, it gets to inning 6. I don't care what's going on anymore. One team is up by, like, 13 runs. And, like, is the other team really going to get 13 runs in the next two innings? It's not impossible. But do I want to waste the next hour and find out?
I'll end it on a positive. A way baseball is better than musicals is baseball has better food. The food at baseball games is better than the food at musicals, the non-existent food. But I would much prefer a hot dog at a baseball game than while I'm watching Hamilton.
That's fair.
Well, we are just about to dock and end this podcast forever.
That's weird.
But before we do, we want to remind you, check us out on Instagram. At Random Ship the Podcast. Alan, for one final time, give the people what they want. What is this week's ship fact?
Seems so sad. This week's ship fact is... The Last Ship is a post-apocalyptic fiction novel written by William Brinkley in 1988. It is about the USS Nathan James on patrol during a nuclear war between the United States and the Soviet Union, and was translated into a television series that ran from 2014 to 2018 on the TNT network.
Yeah. Well, doesn't really have much to do with ships, but it fits perfectly, Alan.
I figured this is our last random ship.
Well, I don't have much to say, so before we wrap it up, I did want to, and feel free to say something to Alan, to thank everyone for making this journey interesting. It was something that we came up with, a fun idea during COVID, and it lasted 100 episodes, and we didn't even know if it would last the first 3 unreleased episodes that we did. Yeah. It's given my brother and I, who live 9 hours apart, a reason to get together virtually every single week, and we thank you. I also wanted to give a shout out to our early adopters. I looked at the stats this week, Alan, and we got a group and a couple people in Dallas and Richardson, Texas, who have listened to almost every episode. So shout out to you, whoever you are. Same with, we have someone in North Carolina who's the same, someone in Stockholm, Sweden. You got, when we were doing very, very few numbers, I could see these and they stuck with us the whole time. So thank you. You guys made it fun. And it was nice to know that people all around the world were enjoying mostly us. My stupidity and Alan laughing at my stupidity.
You make it very easy. And yeah, I'm not as good with words as Holt is, obviously. He's the one who speaks 90% of the podcast.
I'm the captain.
He's the captain. But yeah, thank you everybody who's listened. It's you've listened to more of these episodes than I have, probably. But yeah, it's just been nice to reach people that I can guarantee we never would have reached about anything under any other circumstances. So it's been a really cool experience.
Thank you all so much for joining us this one final time.
And have a great rest of your lives, everybody.
Oh no, I forgot to record.
Thanks for ruining Halloween.